Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. At the time of recording, we're coming into landing in 2023, and yeah, the focus is in coming into landing, it's setting up a great 2024. It's all move. The universe, the law of impermanences, we're constantly shifting. Nothing ever settles. It's this law of impermanence, which in some levels, at the deepest point, you know, you go into Buddhist teachings, you go into mystical teachings, and the deepest point of psychology is we have this deep fear of dying. We have this deep fear that we, in some way, shape or level, we don't have any control over our existence. And from a level of physical death, yes, of course, you cannot control that. And, you know, you can do plenty of reflections to go if that's to face that deepest fear. Coming into landing in my own marriage and in my own inner world experience, I experienced a major shit show inside myself a good few years ago. I believe I've shared this before, but I remember one night around this time of year, and I'm like in this moment now, this is coming very spontaneously here. I forget if it was, I think it was a year after my marriage breakdown, breakthrough experience. And I was in the floods of tears. I was in the floods of tears one early January morning, a few years ago. And it was floods of tears because I didn't think I was capable of doing anything to shift ultimately life on earth. I really was fearing that my two children, you know, when I would leave the play, the stage of life, I would have done nothing to better humanity, what was left behind. And it was at that time I was sort of quite caught up in sort of the bullshit bombardment of mass media. That, you know, life on earth was, you know, there wasn't much hope left, blah, blah, blah. Humanity was at fault, etc., etc. And it was like, okay, I got caught up momentarily in quite a bleak inward perspective on life. I remember emerging from, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes of like tears flooding down my face, sort of that hopelessness. And I found a ground of truth within myself, a ground of perspective where it's like, okay, if that's the only thing I've left, well, I'm gonna fucking go with that. And it was like this: if it's all doom, I mean, I'm gonna die anyway, so it's like there's no story that can be put upon me there's nothing new in it, you know. There's sort of like, well, I'm gonna die anyway. That's pretty fucking. That's as bad as it comes. So there's no other story that any small bunch of people on the planet can bombard if they have sort of like a control on mass media. They can't bombard me. They can't make things any worse. So it's like, even if, you know, the apocalypse is coming, and like I was in my mind at that time, was like, okay, the four horses of the apocalypse are coming. Well, it's like, I'm gonna fucking march out to meet them. If there is some horrific thing in the future, and to be honest, like, since I've come from this perspective, I'm introducing you to what really worked for me was like, I'm gonna ride out to meet them. I'm not going to stay shell-shocked in some fucking corner of my mind, you know, sedating myself with busyness. And I'm not going to take the agenda of any other bunch of people on the planet that doesn't feel inspiring by me, that doesn't feel that there's a radical hope in it. And honestly, hey, I've since really liberated my mind, my soul. I still get caught, but like predominantly I line my entire life behind imbuing, you know, a sense of radical hope, a sense of unstoppability, a sense of love, a sense of embodied freedom in the privacy, in this, in the intimacy of my own nervous system. Nobody can enter there. Nobody. This is my sovereign power to indoctrinate myself into whatever belief system, mindset, heart set, whatever, that serves me to embody love, to feel free. And I'm encouraging you to take on that sovereign power, to own it. And wherever you've been in your life thus far, doesn't matter, I will say this very often, you know, wherever you are in your marriage at this point, coming into landing in 2023, wherever you are in your inner world, and I would say that your inner world, your external world, will mirror your inner world. If there's a lot of conflict in your marriage, you're not going to get away from me if you're in a one-on-one space with me, or if you're in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Don't tell me that the conflict is in your marriage and you're A-okay inside. Our marriage reflects our inner world. It's a really potent point. You know, oh, but it's all in horns, all horror wounds. Dude, you've just yet to slow down and have the radical, heroic humility to get fucking real with what's happening or not happening on your inside. Our outer reality mirrors our inner reality. If you struggle to love yourself inside, you will struggle to receive love from the outside. And your queen probably has had like hundreds and thousands of times when she has tried to love you in the past and it bounced off and you just weren't fucking aware that you were doing that. So your outside mirrors your inside. You struggle to love yourself on the inside, you will struggle to receive love on the outside, and she will struggle to maintain her loving you on the outside in the face of this resistance. And all of that is okay. Wherever you're at now, that's okay. If you have had, like, you can't judge yourself for having a hood on your head. You know, don't judge yourself for years. Oh, I was stubbing my toe. Dude, you had a hood on your head, you couldn't see. But I am encouraging you now, within the context, within this sacred container, there's yourself and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of brothers around the planet, powerful men. Men who have had the spiritual balls to actually enter the arena of marriage. Men who, at their core, at their spiritual core, resonate with this message. Kingly brother, heroic husband, the king archetype. That radically free spiritual archetypal, you know, that home, that's your spiritual inheritance, to embody that, to live that, to be that. And the heroic husband part, you know, to be a hero. So kingship and heroism, it's about meeting whatever the external world pretends to say is an obstacle, pretends to say is a disaster, pretends to say is the apocalypse. Even though if you look at the word apocalypse, it's more about awakening than any, you know, deathly, horrible nightmare scenario. It's actually a beautiful scenario. It's apocalypse is, you know, awaken now is the impulse behind it. And that is what I would say to you, that no matter where you are in your inner world, wherever you are in your marriage, as you come into landing in 2023, entering the new year of 2024, use whatever is there, the pain, the struggle, the suffering that you are experiencing inside of yourself. It's all inside of yourself. But if you feel that there's some outward suffering, and I've been there. I've been there when what my queen was communicating to me did not feel very loving, did not feel very pleasurable at all. Actually, horrifying. Our finances, horrifying for years. Shit show in parenting. Put my hand up energetically and literally hold my hand up. I had created a shit show in my parenting. It was like horrible what was happening there. There was tons of stuff. It was nightmarish for many years how bad it was. So I'm with you. I'm completely with you. I empathize 100%. I feel into how real that suffering can feel for you. You know, as you're listening to this, I feel that, man. 100% empathy. And I will repeat this in other messages, and I want this as a core part. 100% empathy for you, 0% sympathy for you. 0% sympathy. I don't pity you. I don't go up for you. Because I will empathize with you, because when I relate with you and listen to this like I'm speaking with you, I know a part of your mind can go, well, for fuck's sake, it's hundreds of thousands of people listening and whatever. It's like, wait, but psychologically, I invite you to lean in. Make it fucking real. Like I'm sitting across the table. It's eyeball to eyeball, man to man, king to king. I can empathize with you, but I'll have 0% sympathy, because why would you pity a king? Why would you ever have pity and feel sorry for somebody when you know that man that you were speaking with has the entire universe inside of him? When you know the man you're speaking with, yes, you, are the creator, the absolute creator of your reality. Why would I ever pity you? Why would I ever have sympathy for you? I'll empathize. I'll never sympathize. Because you're a fucking king. You're an absolute hero. Whether you have yet to fully realize that, man, hey, that's the spiritual journey. The man I was 4 or 5 years ago, multiple years ago, suicidal times when, hey, just felt, man, just tap. This life experience, fuck that. All my deepest suicidal times were actually in the octagon of marriage, when just loving this game of love brought me to my knees, almost literally. So wherever you're at, cool. I empathize with this, the felt perceived struggle. The felt perceived struggle, not a literal struggle. There's no inherent struggle in absolute reality. It's your mind just perceiving nothing but struggle. Your mind struggling to feel the hope. I want to, in this episode, really just, you know, drag you kicking and screaming. Challenge you. Just fucking break out of that hopelessness. If you're feeling nothing but hopelessness on a level, cool. That's fine. I empathize with that. That's a real struggle. But I invite you, I challenge you to break out of that and say, hey, I haven't yet figured life out. I haven't yet figured marriage out. I haven't yet figured, you know, inner peace and happiness out. I haven't yet. Growth mindset. If in 2023 you haven't yet figured it out, well, this episode is to make damn sure that 2024 you set the foundation under your ass, under your nervous system, under your heart, your soul, and from there into your marriage, show up as the king, as the hero that your queen has been yearning you to become, to be. She has fallen in love with this potentiality. And fuck this new age, sort of super sensitive, oh, deeply spiritual guy who says, well, she should love me as I am. Go fuck yourself. How's that working out for you? She has fallen in love with your godliness, your potentiality, with the man that she believes and knows in her heart of hearts who you could be. It's your fucking mom that you're entitled to. Love me as I am. I fucking heard this sort of shit in different guys, you know, in deep men's work. And I've seen, when I was on social media, I'm glad I'm off, but I hear these big fucking politically correct statements and messages, like, you know, it's like, oh, you need to, women need to learn to love us as we are too, you know. It's like this super sense, it's like, dude, like, you know, I didn't even engage in it, but it's like, I wouldn't fucking bother, because like, how's that working out for you? Like, if you're married, God love that woman, because like, it's boy bitch entitlement energy. Mommy, I'm entitled to your love. I'm entitled to your praise. I'm entitled to your breast milk. I'm entitled to you just like nurture me. Come on, nurture me. It's like, if you want to relate with your queen, guys, if in marriage you want to do that, okay. Okay, I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but you know, send me an email. How's it working out for you? It's not. I can tell you. Don't have to fucking know. I don't have to get that email. So let's build this badass foundation. Bit of context there. Context is always important. Five habits to dominate the marriage octagon and I would say that to dominate marriage and life in 2024. The entirety of this episode is focusing your mind on you. I have went on the five pillars of presence in the heroic husband married life system that we have. There's stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. I'm going to introduce you to five simple habits. There might be one or two bonus habits in there. Five simple habits that tick off the inner world boxes of stillness, sight, shape, state, and story. These are inner world reference points. They are the pillars of self-mastery. And from there, you will nail marriage. From there, you will nail life. From there, you will dominate in the arena of life. It's inside out. It's essential because most guys in marriage, most guys in life, they orient themselves. I need to fix this problem on the outside. It's like the secondary masculine feminine problem. My wife disrespects me. She calls me these shitty things. She doesn't want to make love with me. She criticizes me all the time. It's like this external problem. How do I solve that problem? And it's like you're focused, your energy is focusing on her. It's like, how do I stop her doing that and get her to do a little bit more of this other stuff? What that would be more pleasurable. But it's forgetting and negating this universal fact that it's inside out. You create your external world from what's happening in your inner world. So I will orient you in these habits to your inner world. Number one, the pillar of stillness. What I have stated is the heroic husband practices finding inner stillness in readiness to face every feminine storm of woman and life. The feminine storm, feminine energy is life energy as well. It's the fullness of life, the unpredictable, unboxable, undefinable, unfucking tameable aspect of life. Your practice as the masculine pole in your relationship as the hero is to align your life, to do whatever is necessary to train your nervous system to be at one, to be total stillness in the face of whatever comes your way. Again, this is leadership in any field. You know, go outside of your marriage where it's like you might be a grumpy bastard and just go, my fucking wife. You could be like me several years ago. It's like, but, you know, listen to Daida teachings which were provocative of me thinking, but Daida, you don't know how bad I have it. You don't know how wounded my wife is. Like, you can do all these fucking super cool conscious teachings, but like, you don't realize. Man, this is universal. Any great leaders. Presence, stillness, and the calm. Great leaders in sports, great leaders in business, great leadership, managing whatever sort of a team around the planet. Great leaders can come home to a point of stillness. And from that point of stillness, people around them can feel safe. They can feel their trustworthiness. If you're an emotionally reactive, I'm going to say fucking boy bitch, that's just goes to mush every single time she gives you any bit of feedback, she challenges you to step up, etc., etc., and you just take it all and boy bitch energy sort of resent and building resentment, you don't have stillness. You don't yet have stillness as a practice state of being within your nervous system. So this super core practice, I of all the different meditations, I would say meditation per se is deeply important. Meditation, dropping into inner stillness, coming from consciousness. The one practice that I would recommend above all is to kick off heart coherence breathwork. Heart coherence. I will put a link up. I don't know how long my YouTube channel, it wasn't actually meant to stay up there. But anyway, even if I take that down in the new year, I'll have a link in the description to a YouTube video I have on this. But even if that is taken down in the new year, just Google it or go into YouTube. There's tons. You get any breathwork app, there's hundreds of them out there. Heart coherence breathing. There's different versions, but the version I like is like you breathe in for the same number of seconds as you breathe out. So if you breathe in for four, you breathe out for four. You make your inhalation the same length as your exhalation is. So in for four, out for four, or in for five, out for five. You get the thing. You can go up as high as you can do. This is one of the most scientifically backed breathwork practices. When you do, it drops you into heart coherence, which is this beautiful, funky, could give you the whole neurophysiology, physiological background to it, but it drops you into the deepest state of inner calm. When your heart is in coherence, it's like your full nervous system is really dropped in, is relaxed, is calm, and from there, you have your greatest intuitive wisdom available. From there, you have a really emotionally grounded state of being where you can feel into the moment deepest and know what your heart wants, is yearning most. You know, it takes out that emotional reactivity where within a nanosecond of your queen doing something, not doing something, you perceive rejection. She's criticizing you. She doesn't want you. She doesn't love you. You're not lovable, blah, blah, blah. All of that trigger happy protective pathways, those patterns that can flare up within a nanosecond. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, man? You know, those moments of heart closure where, you know, there's a really reactive part of your nervous system. This dampens that down, it cools it off, and it brings this grounded sense of I'm in my body, like, okay, whatever. She's bringing it up, she's saying similar things. You practice this for a month, to say about 5 to 6 weeks of doing this 3 times a day, and it's only 5 minutes. This is what's great about this practice. 5 minutes, the study has been, 5 minutes multiplied by 3 times per day over 5 to 6 weeks, you will have a like radically significant feeling of being dropped in, more calm, more collected, more objective in the moment, less hyper rationality and emotional reactivity happening, which is, I've said it before, it's like it's the serving the plate. It's like clean your plate. You know, it doesn't matter if there's a 5-star meal on the plate that you're serving to your queen. If there's a dirty plate, it changes everything. So, heart coherence breathwork, 3 times per day. It's 15 minutes per day. But if you do that over 5-6 weeks, already your entire nervous system is going to be radiating a deeper sense of calm, which is going to evoke a response of deeper trust in her. And she's going to start receiving your expressions, receiving your truth, receiving your words, and she'll meet you there. Number one. The second, the bonus one there in stillness is solitude in nature. I was in a battle, which of the two was I going to do? Heart coherence, that's as a training perspective. The bonus extra habit is get more solitude time in nature. 5-10 minutes, if you can do an hour, wow. Man, if you can do a day by yourself, a few hours, fantastic. But in your environment, try and get regular, daily is preferable. Solitude time in nature. You're not even walking the dog, but if you are walking the dog, sit with him and just shut the fuck up and be with nature. Like, let the breeze hit you in the face, enjoy the sunshine, you know, melt into the drizzle, the rain that's falling down on you, breathe in the fresh air, listen to the sounds, close your eyes or be completely visually aware with what's happening. Nature settles our heart, our nervous system, our soul, which allows you show up powerfully and potently as the masculine pole in your relationship. Number two, sight. The heroic husband continually renews a married life vision to focus his visual and imaginary attention on opportunities to create what he desires in his relationship. Sight is everything. Now, sight, yeah, there's the physical sight. There's like what you're looking at. Now, the higher order, and this is the king archetype, is your vision. A king has a vision. The vast majority of men that I know is like, well, what's your vision for your marriage? It's like, what? It's like, what do you mean, what's my vision? Their vision of their marriage has got stuck on a roundabout version of the shit show that they're seeing and feeling, the suffering that they're going through. Like, the question, what do you want, or what is your vision for your marriage, is like, it's bewildering. So, daily future casting is one of the most potent, scientific-backed practices that you can do for your life. Because as you write, take 10 minutes. I would say take 10 minutes every day. Definitely, hey, if you're in a shit show, but it's a beautiful thing to do as a regular practice, no matter what your inviting into your lived experience. Daily future casting. It's writing down what's the best case scenario for yourself in your married life. You know, you might need to project. It's like, okay, in a year's time, whatever. Year's time, 6 months' time, it doesn't matter. In the future, what is the best case scenario I can imagine? And like, really go to the limits. Like, it's, this is limitless. This is blank canvas. On a daily basis, you go to a blank canvas and go, wow, you know, I see myself. I'm living this. Write it down in first in present tense. It's like, I'm living. We're making love more often. You know, when we speak, my anger is gone. I've learned, you know, to be deeply connected. She's trusting me more than ever. We're sweet with each other. We go for walks together and we actually melt into each other's arms. We have stopped looking at fuck-arsing on scrolling social media. You know, when we're around each other, we're actually fully with each other. We laugh more often. We're sweet. She's sweet when I'm around the kids. She really trusts me. You know, whatever it is, I'm actually, whatever your version is of that, you, on a daily basis, take 10 minutes and you start journaling your future casting. You're like, what is that vision that you want to live into? Doing that on a daily basis. It's a super high leverage practice on a daily basis. That's training your nervous system to orient towards hope. Your nervous system is now being trained on a daily basis to have, like, it's lifting, it's pumping iron in the gym. Like, that's cool for your muscles. Your full muscle potentiality gets trained. This is pumping your muscle off hope, because hope is the sort of definition that, you know, today, tomorrow, the near future, it's going to be better than what it is today. And I'm good with that. You know, it's this faith and hope of, you know, tomorrow's going to be a better day than today. And I'm oriented everything towards that. When you do that, it's like your nervous system through your eyes, but like almost like your eyes and your entire nervous system. There's the visualize, but then there's also what you notice inside yourself, in your environment, in your inner environment, outer environment, what you see intuitively and visually. You notice opportunities, because every single day you're orienting yourself to what could be. Hey, I want more connection. Hey, better sex life. Hey, more sweetness. Funnily enough, you keep doing that. You're ripping your attention from the shit show. You're ripping your attention from the same shit, different day, the roundabout sort of thing. Oh, it just gets worse and worse. You know, 99% of guys are on this slow but sure, just gets worse and worse pattern. This breaks that pattern into slowly but surely it just gets a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And hey, a little bit better over a day mightn't be so great, even though you can have major breakthroughs. Over 7 days, not so crazy, but still cool. You get into Heroic Husband's Men's Circles, you start seeing, it's like, wow, when you just have the support, you have a tribe there, you're being called out in your bullshit, but you're being loved and accepted and honored, and you feel seen, heard, and safe, and now your emotional system is more dropped in, grounded, and you're living into this vision. It's off the charts what can happen over a couple of months. Over, you know, it's like you stay in that sort of a setup for years. Man, it's like limitless what can you can invite into your married life, into your inner world. So it all starts with you setting a sight, your sights, inner world sights, your nervous system, training it to see a future, see the horizon where, man, that fucking feels good, that looks good. I want more of that. Will train, will get your visual eyes to see opportunities where you can plant seeds of potentiality to creating that vision. It's all about training your attention to focus on hope, focus on a vision that you will bend over backwards to bring into your lived experience. That's kingship. That's a high value man. Your queen will fucking love you that. You're breaking out of hopelessness and planting seeds of radical hope. Shape. The third pillar of presence. Again, this is training your nervous system, training your lived experience. The king trains to have a resilient body to ferociously embrace the challenges of married life and mission engagement, and maintain an open-hearted posture during all conversations. This is coming from the mastery system. The physical shape, postural awareness, and conversation. This is like one of the bonus ones. I'm going to suggest that a really potent one for men around the planet is movement practice during your day. Shake it up in your body. Some of you might be badass, might be getting to the gym, you hit the trails, you're on the bikes, you have your fitness routine, and maybe a portion of you are even insanely more fit than I am. It's one of my big things going into 2024. I'm getting on top of long-term asthma, having beautiful healing breakthroughs there, and really want to get radically physically fitter. So yeah, that's maybe some of you are along with me. It's like, hey, great intentions, but let's act on those intentions. I'm not saying to set a habit for a major workout. What I'm talking about in movement practice is introduce movement throughout your day. Because even for the guys that are, you know, could self-declare, oh, I'm super fit, like that's a really important part, and I really tick it off at an uncommonly high level. It's like, I honor that, absolutely do. But whoever you are, you know, the sedentary lifestyle is almost within reason. Some of you might be in working outdoors, etc., etc. So, of course, like meet me wherever you're at. But statistically speaking, there's a lot of people, way more than ever before in the history of humanity, who live a sedentary lifestyle. You know, they're sitting a lot. Like myself, I sit at a computer a lot during the day. I have Heroic Husbands Men's Circles via Zoom. It's on screen. I'm typing. Right now, I'm in my recording studio beside the laptop. You know, there's a lot of sitting. We're not like years ago out working on a farm, working in the land, you know, hunting, walking over rough terrain as our regular, you know, daily lived experience. So even if you work out in the gym like once a day and you do in the morning, you do in the evening, well, if the other 12, 13 hours of your day are spent sitting or in the commute, in the car, sitting at home, not getting a lot of movement, a lot of stagnant energy builds up in you, in your physiology, in your psychology, your nervous system, the cells of your body are feeling the stagnancy of it. It's not a natural thing for us to go hours upon hours upon hours not moving. I'm talking about like sort of like a vigorous movement, you know, like where you're putting a stress and a strain. You could be sawing timber, you know, building shit, doing like vigorously engaging your body. That is what a healthful state of well-being would be, that we would naturally be outside and moving shit, doing stuff, moving our joints, moving our bodies, our muscles getting a good pump throughout the day. So all the movement experts around the planet are really saying this, like every sort of 25 minutes to half hour, get some vigorous movement in. This is actually going to be, there's a great overlap here. I'm just noticing this now. There's an overlap here with the state shifters going to be in point number 4. But this is movement. Like, have a few minutes pocket of time when you just stretch out and move your whole body. I call it freedom of movement practice. I can't do a visual on it, but I'm literally doing it now. It's like moving every single limb. And I know some of you are working in office, but it's like, hey, just take off to the jacks and just do some movement where nobody's looking. Find some space, some storage room, and get down and do some push-ups. Take the fucking stairs, up and down the stairs. Maybe go up and down the flights twice, not just once. Up and down, out the door, gone. When you come into work, take the stairs. Go for a walk at lunchtime. Whatever it is, introduce movement throughout your day. Regularly. It's an incredible thing to keep the stagnancy from building in your body. It keeps your muscles actually triggered and toned. So get creative to find movement opportunities throughout your day. I will leave it at that. And on top of that, hey, 2024, definitely full rigorous training to bring yourself to the next level. But this movement practice throughout your day, find pockets of time to move your body. When you do that, you will be emotionally feeling better within yourself. It will release stress. You will feel your neurophysiology, your entire physiology will work better. As a result, you will actually feel that you will eat better, because when you're feeling better in your body and your body's getting lots of juicy movement, the natural impulse is to go towards, you know, drinking water, stuff, drinking stuff and eating stuff that actually nourishes yourself. So as you do one thing, you do all things. Get movement in your daily, in your daily routine. Number four, and this is all relating to marriage, of course. It's how you relate with the world. You set your stillness, your sight up, your shape up, and state and story coming next. Man, how you will, like the foundational point that we always have here is like you're constantly transmitting a message that's evoking a response from your world, from your queen, from your kids. Because so if you, the one point of control you have as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a human being, is controlling what's happening inside of you, which is controlling the message that you are transmitting to your queen, to life. If you keep bringing your awareness and you set your habits up, this is why these five habits to dominate your marriage and life in 2024, they're all inner world habits. Get moving. You're going to be freer emotionally. When your body is free and emotionally free, hey, that message you're going to be transmitting is going to be infinitely more grounded and lovable, actually. Foundation is going to be more lovable. Because actually, one major thing with men is that we tighten up during the day and we bring all of this physical tightness in our posture, in how we move, the tightness in our jaws. And this is why, you know, moving throughout the day really shakes up that tightness so you can come in softer in your body. Remember, don't get triggered by the word softness. It's soft front, strong spine. That's men's work. You have a strong spine, unfuckwittable mountainous spine, but you have a soft front. Okay, so moving on. Point number four, state. So we've done stillness, sight, shape, state. All the pillars of presence. State. The king trains in self-regulated energy mastery to gift his highest enthusiasm and sexual drive to his woman and the world all day long. Conscious masculine relating is about self-mastery of energy foundationally. If you don't manage your energy is like, it's the colors of the paint. You know, you got the paintbrush, but it's like, it's the colors of the paint that you put in the canvas. And I don't know, of course, there's value to all the different colors, but it's like bright colors. You want to experience like nice, bright colors that feel good to look at. Not saying that the dark stuff, blah, 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 is bad. There's great value in the whole lot of it, but you get what I fucking mean here. The habit here, I would challenge you in this, is to write down a list of state shifters. And I note that there is an overlapping part here, which if you can get them both together, it's a wonderful thing. There is a difference here. The state habit and the shape movement practice, there can be some overlap. However, write a list of state shifters. This is where, when you're feeling stagnant, when you notice, and it takes you slowing down your mind, stillness, point number one, you're practicing your heart coherence or your daily meditation practice, you're going to be more aware, you're going to be more in your body. So part of this is slowing down within yourself, taking moments when you're just in with yourself. And if you notice that there's a tension, there's a frustration, there's, you know, there's an aggressive part, you're carrying like sort of negative energy from sort of like a conflict that happened during the day and it was a shitty day at work, etc., etc. But you notice, it's like, oh, wow, you know, the dirty plate metaphor. If you serve something, a beautiful meal with a dirty plate, that person, your queen, you will never receive that meal. It'd be like, clean the plate. The plate metaphor, remember, it's like your plate, clean plate or dirty plate, is your nervous system ultimately. It's like you need to clean that, because time and time and time and time again, all the conflict is happening because you brought a dirty plate in to the conversation. It was already dirty. It had nothing really to do with what your queen said or didn't say, what your kids were doing, not doing, oh, they're being bold. If your nervous system came into that conversation, came into the space with your queen, with your kids, but your plate was dirty, aka, you know, there was a stagnant, shitty, dirty, resentful energy, there was frustration there, it just, your nervous system was icky. You know, it just wasn't feeling right or anywhere near feeling right. And you enter that space going, yeah, you know, whatever. These are the most important people on the planet to me, but I haven't cleaned my plate. I haven't done fucking anything. Remember, I bring this back to, you wouldn't enter an interview like that. You would do whatever is necessary before an interview or before any important work meeting. You do whatever. You fucking shout yourself in the mirror in the bathroom, like you would G yourself up. You would make sure you had a bright, fresh, you know, a good walk before. You'd make sure, okay, I'm going to get a nice coffee. I'm going to have a nice meal before this. I'm going to get in the zone. I'm going to have a nice grounding chat with a coworker, because why? That meeting is important. I've got to have my A game on. But we don't play the A game intentionality with our family, because it's like same shit, different day. Well, she's going to be there this evening, isn't she? Well, my kids, I mean, biologically, they can't sack me, can they? It's really fucking, like, the levels of entitlement we practice with our family is catastrophic. It's really catastrophic. So, write down a list of state shifters. What these are experiences you've had. I have some suggestions. That when you do that activity for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like it's a short burst level of activity, it changes your state. You will go from stagnant, fill in the list, stagnant, feeling a bit shitty, icky, not so great. You already know anybody that's in your company, your queen, your kids, anybody you give a fuck about, you're going to transmit a message that's just going to be pretty fucking shitty. Even if you say nice words, even if you hug her, kiss her from there, even if you hold space for your kids and you try and, like, you know, sit and discipline from there, like, you know, you have one of those important conversations with them, or you're asking them about your day. If you are bringing that shitty, stagnant, horrible background energy there, anything you do is just not going to be received. It's not going to evoke a response of happiness, of, you know, feeling that you're trustworthy, that they're not going to feel safe around you. They're going to know this background shitty energy is there. So, state shifters are like a cold shower. I love a cold shower. 1 minute, 2 minutes max in a cold shower. I'm getting out. I'm feeling fresh. I'm feeling like a spring lamb. I'm radically alive. That bursts me out of any state of frustration, any state of stagnancy, any state of anything. It's like I feel radically alive. I'm really in my body. And it's like a major turnaround. It's like steroids. I don't know what, like, it's probably a bad example. I say steroids and cocaine sometimes, but it's like whatever. It's like this natural, beautiful kick to the system. Push-ups. Like, jump down and or go to another room, whatever, if it feels weird. Sometimes I do in front of my kids and my queen, and they've got used to my weirdness. It's not weird anymore. I just do it. They don't even comment on it. But it's like I'll do 10 to 20 push-ups, because when I feel that I'm in that stagnant energy coming down, I've done, like, I haven't moved much. Maybe my own practice of movement practice hasn't been good. I've been on, like, a lot of calls, whatever. And I notice, it's like, oh wow, it's like time for lunch, time for breakfast, time for, you know, I'm going to be present. I want to be fully present with my queen, with my kids. But I notice, it's like, oh, there's this stagnant energy in the background. 20 push-ups. Like, my heart is pumping, my body's alive, my muscles are active, they're warmed up, I'm fucking pumped. And it's like, then I'll sit with my queen. 50 air squats. Again, it's a physical shake-up. 50 air squats, just down, boom, boom, boom. It's simple, but it's movement. It's good for the body, but it shakes the energy. A round of Wim Hof breathwork. Jump on YouTube, save videos. Wim Hof, it's like rapid, maximum inhalation, inhalation, exhalation, inhale, exhale, like it's rapid breathing, followed by breath holds. Do 5 minutes of that. It's insane. Like, you will feel totally rejuvenated. Your nervous system will be buzzing. Then go in home from work. Do 5 minutes in the car. Maybe tell your queen that she's not wondering what the fuck, like what's happening. Or just tell her, hey, baby, I just have this practice. 5 minutes. Actually, it can be a really cool thing to set these habits at certain key moments. Yes, when you become aware. Yes, when you're about to, like, transition from the car in home from work, when you're before you get to the breakfast table, before you get to family connection time. You know, it's not happening as much as it was in the past, which is a great, great, great shame, but you can bring that back. But, you know, family connection time, table time, before a movie. And if there's an important conversation about to happen, notice your energy. If it's stagnant, if it's shitty, if it's just say to your queen, say to your kids, it's like, hey, daddy, or just baby, I just want 2-3 minutes. I want to shake up my energy. I'm really stagnant. I'm tired. I just have like, there's not a good cocktail in my nervous system at the moment. Give me 2-3 minutes, cold shower, push-ups, quick sprints. Like if you have a backyard, sprinting over and back, sprinting over and back. Go for a quick, super quick walk. Of course, you can have a stage shifter that takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. Go for a walk. The point here is write up a list of state shifters, the short burst activities that bring a radical shift in your energy that you're feeling in your nervous system. And from there, the message you will transmit will have an infinitely greater chance of evoking response in your queen, in your family, in your kids, that is going to be pleasurable to them, that's going to feel safe to them, that they're going to start appreciating that you do this, because this breaks out grumpy asshole energy. There's no tidy way to say it. Grumpy asshole energy. I had fucking grumpy asshole energy for years, for 12 years. Still, it hangs around, and at times my queen calls me out. She goes like, hey, what the fuck? You know, where are you at? Like, what the hell, Mark, since you've come down with your energy? I forget this stuff. I get the reminder from her. Okay, write up your list of state shifters. And writing up the list is one thing. Put it into fucking practice. 2024, start state shifting. And presenting fucking really receivable, loving, enthusiastic energy to your queen, to your kids. Point number 5. So we've done stillness, sight, shape, state, and now going to story. The heroic husband's practices self-awareness of his story of blame, shame, and claiming thoughts, and claims extreme ownership for the thoughts he chooses to create his married life with. I love the simplicity of categorizing your thinking into blame, shame, or claim. Blame is against your queen, against your kids, against the world, against something other than yourself. Shame is sort of blame thoughts focusing on you. You're a piece of shit. You're useless. You'll never figure this out. You're not lovable. She deserves somebody better. Blah, 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 blah. It's against you. And then claim thoughts, which is, you know, just claiming you are the creator of your reality. You will claim ownership. And you though know that your thoughts create your world, because your thoughts sponsor what you're going to say. Your thoughts sponsor what you're going to do. So it's a pretty radically empowering thing to get aware of the way your mind works. And I would say, like, the habit that I'm going to point to quick drink needed. I when I'm talking a lot, I get carried away with the enthusiasm of it all, but I need to soften my voice, hydrate. The habit that I'm going to speak to for story, the story part of the pillar of presence as a man, as a king, as a hero, is journaling. I've referenced this before, but Tim Ferriss in his, I think it was Tools of Titans, from all the world-class performers that he had interviewed on his podcast to the point at which he published, wrote that book. All of them, without fail, actually, they had meditation, some form of meditation, and journaling as the two habits that they all had. There was no exception to this. So point 1, stillness, meditation, breathwork. Point 5, journaling. It's like world-class performers, male and female, journaling and meditation. I would encourage you to, in journaling, to take the response of like meditation is a process of coming to know your mind. I would say journaling is a process of coming to know your mind. There's you, which is consciousness, and there are your thoughts and emotions that you can journal about. You can journal about life, but journaling is coming home to like finding out how your mind works and navigates with the world. Yes, there's, you can journal about this happened, but bring it to how did my mind respond to what happened? How is my mind navigating the situation? What are the conflicts? How does my mind get triggered? What thoughts come up when I get triggered? Are the blame or the shame, etc.? What's emotionally happening? Have journaling as, you know, your 10 minutes per day, end of day. Can be the morning time, whatever time block you have that feels right by your schedule. And write. Intuitively, write just what is life, but coming from a process of coming to know your mind. Recognizing that your thoughts and emotions are not you, they never were. That's the greatest delusion, delusion, whatever, that we have, that creates us the greatest suffering. We think if we have so-called bad thoughts, blame thoughts, shame thoughts, we are bad. We feel guilty. We feel, it's like all they are protective pathways from childhood, which, hey, you, like every man out there, had shitty, traumatizing, emotional, psychological times, experiences. Your environment was not conducive for you to feel radically grounded, radically confident, loved, lovable, seen, heard, and safe. I know of no man that has had such an upbringing in this profoundly sick society. So it's nothing personal, but the great problem we have is that we end up believing that our thoughts and our emotions are who we are. Yet they're just burps of protective pathways, literal pathways that moments in our life, we're talking about marriage here, but like your queen, she triggers me so much. She triggers you when she looks at you in a certain way, when she says certain things, when she criticizes, when she rejects you, blah, 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 blah. That's all about your mind. Your mind gets triggered. She doesn't have the power to cause you any emotional pain. She only has the power to reveal undealt with pathways, ultimately. It's neural pathways that are highly reactive when your queen comes anywhere close to replicating hurtful times that you had in your past. They're protective pathways. They're burps off your nervous system. Nothing more. They're not you. They're merely habits. They're pathways that are, you're stuck in the rut. It's like the horse is in the rut, like going round. But how do? You just get the horse to come out of the rut. The rut is like that imprint in the ground that a horse gets stuck in. They keep going round and round and round and round in the same rut. But you just get the horse. It takes a bit of effort, but you take the horse, get him out of the rut. It steps up out of that trench he has walked into the ground, and now he's walking on a different pathway. So journaling is becoming aware. Journaling, the best type of journaling is becoming aware, where you're like, oh God, you know, today I had a major conflict with my queen and this is how my thinking went. Oh, most of my thoughts are beating the shit out of myself. My mind thinks this way. My mind starts beating the shit out of myself and I felt like a radical hopelessness. I felt depressed. I felt really sad. I wanted to cry. Oh, my thinking went this way and my emotions went that way. When this external situation happens. When I'm in bed with my queen, journal. It's like, oh, I get super reactive when I perceive I'm being rejected. A part of me, I would say, in part of your journaling, a really important part is start practicing writing down, a part of me gets super pissed off. A part of me feels rejected. A part of me gets super reactive. A part of me starts blaming my queen. A part of me shames myself. And then who is the other part? Consciousness. Your conscious awareness, it's who you truly are. It's your spiritual being. You're the witnessing awareness that, you know, that's the masculine practice. When you can do that within your journaling, and journaling, you're practicing new pathways. I would say presence pathways of seeing, you know, seeing the facade, the persona. Remember, your persona is the mask. The root of the word persona is mask. It's the mask that you put on to save your ass, you know, from suffering during really tough times growing up. Journaling at the deepest level is really supportive and empowering, because you start journaling your inner world experience of your persona. There's your persona, these habitual ways of thinking and talking and showing up in the world. And you look at them and you go, wow, black box thinking. It's like, wow. And the more you do that, the more you realize, wow, it doesn't make sense. Like, I suffer pain every single time that I like go with blame thoughts. And like, I suffer insufferable amounts of intolerable pain when I beat the shit out of myself, or a part of me, get a technical mark, when a part of me beats the shit out of myself, but there's another part that's looking on going, I can choose. I can choose a different way. And all of this practice brings about a radical uprising, a growth of self-awareness, awareness of how your nervous system orients with the world, how it navigates the world. And the more self-aware you become, the more there's a space for growth to happen. There's a space for you to start noticing, going, wow, well, that just doesn't make sense to keep speaking from blame, does it? It never works. Or blame and shaming yourself, etc., etc. And you start treading down and opening up to presence pathways of new ways of thinking, new ways of talking, new ways of taking action. These are the three deep creative tools we have, universal tools: thinking, talking, and taking action. And from journaling, you become aware of the ways that don't really work. You can then open up space for new ways of thinking, new ways of talking with your queen, with your kids, and new ways of taking action in your marriage, in your family life. That will have you mastering married life in 2024 and beyond. And you can turn this entire thing around. Remember, I was saying that in the beginning. Doesn't matter where your marriage is. Doesn't matter what you've been living up until now. You can grab the reins, guys, with these habits. Let's remind, coming into landing, stillness. The heroic husband practices finding inner stillness and readiness to face every feminine storm of woman and life. Start doing whatever your form of meditation is. Heart coherence is the most scientific-backed one. YouTube, you'll have the link in here, or just click in YouTube, get your video, or any breathwork app out there. Heart coherence, super. 5 minutes practice by 3 times per day. Within 5-6 weeks, you're going to be like a Zen monk. It's going to be fucking awesome. Some solitude in nature is the bonus point there. Sight. Daily future casting. Indoctrinate. Like, bring in radical hope into your being. All kings have radical hope. They always know their kingdom is walking, is marching towards a better future than today. Keep writing down 10 minutes every day. What's the best case scenario for yourself in your married life? Keep programming your nervous system to see that, only that, to focus on that, and plant seeds of potentiality to feed, to fuel, to create that vision. Shape, movement practice. Shake your booty, shake up your energy, move your body, move all limbs, all joints, all muscles. Regularly throughout today, every half hour throughout the day, your lunchtime, before you move come in from work, at that, shake it up. You know, one hour workout every day does not count for the other like 13 hours of sedentary way of living. So shake your body. State. Write a list of state shifters. Cold shower, push-ups, 50 air squats, round of Wim Hof, breath work, etc., etc., etc. Walk the dog, whatever it is. Try and get them. Well, maybe to walk the dog is not good. Get like 2 or 3 minute power pockets when you can do them. Before a conversation, before moving in home, before, you know, parenting your kids, that you can rapidly shift the state, the emotional state in your nervous system, so your plate is clean and whatever your message you transmit in the presence of your queen, of your kids, it's going to evoke a response that's going to be way more pleasurable to them and to you. And story. Get a journal. If you don't have a journal now, go out, purchase one, set a daily 10-minute practice to journal. End of day, beginning of day, fit it in whenever you want, but have it as a process of coming to know your mind. You're getting passionately curious about coming to know yourself, coming to know how your mind operates, how your mind thinks, and thus how your mind creates the reality that's coming in. From there, you're going to start becoming from consciousness and be the ultimate creator of your marriage, of your life in 2024. These 5 habits, kings, for those of you that are listening in, for those of you that implement, transformation is in the implementation. Listening in, going, oh, well, this is really interesting. It just sedates my mind a little bit more and it's even pleasant. Yeah, it's on topic. I sort of want to create a better married life, but I just listen in. It's not going to do fucking shag all for your marriage, honestly. You might, if it makes you feel a bit better, cool. If you like my voice, cool. If you like what I say, even better. But if you don't fucking implement, the transformation is not going to happen in your marriage. End of story. End of fucking story. That's it. Transformation is in the implementation, and kings implement. Kings take action. They do not passively sit on the sidelines moping around in her head going, my marriage is shite, and my wife, she doesn't love me anymore, and my kids don't respect me. And I'm fucking mocking that because it's not manly, it's not kingly, it's not what heroes do. I did it for years. My marriage went to the fucking shitter. And if you're moping about in boy energy, listening in, but still moping about, whining in the privacy of your own mind, bitching about your queen in the privacy of your own mind, you're bitching about your married life in the privacy of your own mind, that's boy bitch energy. Rip that fucking option out of your nervous system. Going into 2024, these are five super high leverage, high performance, human performance in any realm, but you are a leader. You are a leader of your family. You are a leader for your queen, or you should be. You fucking have to be. That's what she's yearning for you to become. You need to be a leader for you. And the next seven generations are depending on how you show up now. Whatever way you've been showing up for the last 20, 30 years, my friend, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. Burn up all of that shame. Burn up all that beating the fucking shit out of yourself. It doesn't fucking matter. But it matters from today. Best time to plant a tree, 20 years ago. Second best time, today. Best time to come alive as a husband, 20 years ago. Second best time, today. Get to work, man. If you want support in bringing the fullness of human existential fucking beauty and power and strength and embodied love, and to be able to receive your queen's love and dominate in the parenting arena and just be the marriage transforming hero of your relation entering 2024, there's the new intake coming up in early February for Heroic Husbands Men Circles. Click the link now. Let that be the 10 seconds of kingly courage that launches 2024 as being the best year of your life thus far. Why would you fucking have it any other way? Coming into landing in 2023, I want to take time to thank all of you, like energetically, individually, collectively as a bunch, as a tribe of valued men around the world. You're fucking awesome. What we have collectively achieved in this movement, I don't have time to go through, it's all statistics and that, but we entered this year with zero men in deep men's work. We leave the year, it's group one, started off with six guys, and then there was group two and group three, and there's 20 men doing vigorous, uncommonly deep work with their marriages feeling better, their queens feeling safer, their kids feeling better, and that's the seven generations going after them men and those families, what they're embodying. The world is becoming a better place. 2024 is going to be, there's going to be hundreds in Heroic Husbands Men Circles by the end of it. Many of you listening in, the space is there. I want you to be winning majorly in your married life. The podcast has been amazing. We recently got to over 2,000 listens in 1 week. It's beautiful. We broke through the 50,000 all-time listens mark. The snowball is really growing, guys. This movement is driven by you. You listening in, every time you click to listen in, every time you click to, you set the intention in yourself to show up as a better man, a better husband, a better lover, a better dad. It's feeding the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. This is an amazing movement. I want to set it that we are collectively on course for meeting what I've set as the vision, as the aim, by the end of 2027 to have 10 million listeners every week listening in. Be 10 million husbands, 10 million queens, 10 million families around the planet, setting the standard of what is possible when a man gets his fucking shit together spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, in marriage, and embodies a way of being a heroic husband that sets the standard for generations to come. This is an immense work, individually and collectively, what we're doing. We've had generations that have not fucking done the job. They didn't have the social support. They didn't have podcasts. They didn't have this fucking podcast. They didn't have whatever was there to support them. But we are the generation that takes this on. We are the heroes. We are the men that are capable of transforming the experience for seven generations and beyond. That is our collective work. That's an epic fucking mission. I would say it's the most important fucking mission on the planet, because every single one of you, there's no argument that is going to tell me that it's any different. You're the most important leaders on the planet in this impeccably beautiful moment of potentiality. Humanity is at a cross of destiny, but let's fucking storm on as the conscious, kingly brothers, amazing heroic husbands that we can be, individually and collectively, in 2024 and beyond. With brotherly love from Roscommon, Ireland, go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.